stretch out your hand toward this man and pray for the Lord's anointing on him today as he ministers. Father, we thank you for this man. We thank you that in your heart and in your development, we have sons and daughters, we have fathers and mothers, and grandparents in the spirit as well as the flesh. I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to and through this your son. We ask you for your anointing, that the life and the power that is in the Word of God would come up and through him, and that you would open our hearts to receive it. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
That's my usual way of greeting you, because that's how Paul, in opening up, saluting the different churches, he was powerfully letting them know what their position was in Christ. And that position is that God, through the finish, as we was talking about earlier, it is finished, your position, through the finished work of Jesus. And so that's why I like to address you as saints. And I'm excited about what God has to say today and how he wants to bless us. You know God's in that business, right? I want you to give that thought for a moment. There's not a moment in time God's not blessing. You may have trouble with that mentally at times, but he's always blessing, moving, overcoming. So we want to be a blessing this morning to you. One of the things my wife and I have decided to do in our marriage is we decided we was going to see who could outserve one another. We ain't going to talk about marriage, but I'm just giving you that little. So you know what we do? We get up every day, see who can outserve one another. Who can outbless one another? So that's our goal today, is to be a powerful blessing. And I thank God for a lady named Mary Castile that downloaded that in me as a young boy. So what I do today, what the ministry that we have today, how we serve, powerful good bit of that comes from my mother and how she raised us. What I was taught about giving and loving people. And so we've got some guests tonight. Today, you're guests today, and we got a relationship. Y'all stand. I got my children in back, Leah and Rachel. Y'all stand. I got grandbabies back there. Got a son, powerful son, Artavius, and his wife Tanya, and their two boys. Y'all raise your hand. That right there. My daughter Rachel, Leah, Isaiah, Ezra letting you know amen. Thank y'all. And on this side, I got Nakia, and Nakia's helping us with our Woodlawn project that we're doing down at Woodlawn High School. Thank y'all for coming. And y'all folks, let's give them a round of applause. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you. Amen. Y'all can be seated. It is Artavius just moved back last year. He was gone for several years, and is the head coach for Thompson High School's varsity girls basketball. And so we have a long time relationship, and it's just a blessing to see how God has blessed his life. And so if you have your sermon outline, I brought some stuff. Today is going to be kind of like show and tell. Y'all like show and tell? You know how when you was in grade school, you had to take stuff to school when you was doing your little project? You had to show it and you had to talk about it. Amen? Y'all remember? So today is little show and tell, so y'all won't go to sleep on me. I keep you motivated. And I brought some stuff. I brought two trophies today. This is my first trophy I ever won. Okay, show and tell, right? And on this trophy says first place award, age 13, 1974. So if you do your what you do your math, that's 50 years ago. My thing's still in good shape, isn't it? Punt, pass, and kick. Four punt, pass, and kick. This one is 1987. Oh, I just got two trophies in my office. My first one and my last one. It's the last one I received. This is 1987 Play of the Year in NFL Films Awards. So during the NFL in 1987, what I'll be talking about today, some of what I'll be talking about, that trophy was given to me as the Play of the Year in the 1987 season. And before I go on, I'm going to let Brother Wayne just show this clip. We got about a five-minute clip he's going to show, and that's Dr. Hugh Ross that you're looking at right there.
Decent time. We have actually 30 theorems in this scientific literature that establish, beyond any doubt, our universe as a beginning, not just a beginning of matter and energy, but a beginning of space and time itself, which tells us that the God that created the universe is a being who has the power to create dimensions at will. He can create space-time dimensions. There may be other dimensions that are alluded to in the book of Revelation, independent of space and time. Our God can create space-time. He can create things as big as he wants, as small as he wants, and he's made it just right. Now, scientists have discovered this in the 21st century. The Bible said it thousands of years ago. This is just one example from 2 Timothy 1:9. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Titus 1:2, the hope that we share in Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus was given to us before the beginning of time. And I'm going to be speaking tomorrow morning about my latest book, Designed to the Core. And the theme of that book is, when you read the Bible, it says that God began his works of redemption before he created anything at all, which implies that everything that God creates is for the purpose of making possible the redemption of billions of human beings from their sin and evil so they can come into a relationship where they can experience God's exponentially greater love than we can experience for the rest of eternity. It's a God that's not only big in what he has created, it's a God who desires to redeem us, to have a relationship with us. And more on that in a couple of minutes. But this addresses a question. How can a God beyond the universe hear all of our prayers? I mean, God encourages us to pray. And I'll be speaking tonight about how prayer is the most powerful tool that God has granted to us human beings. But what would happen if all of us were to pray to God at the same time? I got that question from my sons when they were 3.5 years of age. Dad, why do you have us pray every night? Yeah, there might be billions of other kids all praying at the same time. Doesn't that jam up God's phone lines? And I basically explained to them the space-time theorems, which prove that time is a beginning and space is a beginning. They kind of nodded their heads, but made the point that God, who created our universe of space and time, is not constrained by space and time. He's totally free to operate completely independent of space and time. Now, we're constrained by time because we're in a single dimension of time that can't be stopped or reversed. Our relationships are linear. We can't have a one-on-one conversation with a billion people simultaneously. Because we're constrained in time, it's got to be one person at a time. But God created time. He's not constrained by time. And so he could operate in the equivalent of all kinds of dimensions of time. So, for example, we could have God operating not in just one dimension of time, but two dimensions of time, an infinite number of dimensions of time. But if you consider this our timeline here, we can have a moment here where 7 billion of us all pray to God at the same time. That's not a problem for God, because he's got access to all kinds of other dimensional realms. And so for what for us would be a microsecond, for him could be infinite time in a timeline that's perpendicular to our timeline. And so he can give undivided, focused, one-on-one attention to the prayers of all 7 billion people praying to God at the same moment. And when I explained that to my sons when they were 3.5 years of age, it gave them the confidence. God really can hear our prayers. And that, hey, this tool that God gave us is something we all need to take advantage of. You know, prayer is a tool that God has given us that can transcend space-time. What I share with people in our congregation, you can pray and have an impact on somebody's life halfway across the world. It's not limited by space and time. It's not limited by the velocity of light. When you pray, God outside of space and time can influence events anywhere in the entirety of the universe. Matter of fact, he can do it beyond the universe in the angelic realm. Now, it's not just that we
Amen. Amen. So if you have your sheet there, the title of it is When We Pray, Miracles Happen. You notice they're on the, he said, God is bigger than we know. I keep this little deal on mine to remind me that God is bigger. I got this little deal I wear here. It says, God is bigger. And it reminds me each and every day when I'm confronted with circumstances and situations that God is bigger. It's vital that you have that thought process as you approach each and every day. If you watch that entire video series right there, just it's about 50 minutes. He talks about the different galaxies that they've discovered through the Webb and Hubble telescope. The Hubble telescope allowed us to see that there was billions of galaxies. Well, in the last 20, 25 years, with the Webb telescope, they've been able to discover there's trillions. Billions, we can just stay with billions of galaxies with billions of stars in them. And scripture says, as Solomon said to the Lord as he dedicated the house, Lord, the heavens of heavens can't contain you. Galaxies are created. It's physical property. Give that thought. Trillions. How far out is that? God's bigger than any problem that you came here with today. Any circumstance that you have today. Whatever it is that you're faced, he's bigger. So what we want to do is help encourage you to come and understand, you know what, I need to change my thought process. So I want to do a little praise the Lord. I have this Sports Illustrated. It's dated January 25th, 1988. John Elway, Super Bowl bound. It's the Broncos against the Redskins. And in here's a story on how we got to Super Bowl 22. You know, I started out the 1987 season. This trophy right here that was presented to me. I started out, didn't look good. 1987 season, because I was in Tampa Bay when the camp started. Got released 2 weeks in the camp. What do you do when things go wrong? Or it seems they're going wrong. See, Jeremiah Castile doesn't win NFL Player of the Year if he doesn't get things look like they're not going good. I don't get released, lose my job in Tampa Bay. I'm not a part of this Super Bowl. So what is your attitude and what is my attitude when those things come in our life? God's bigger. Amen. Well, I pray today that you decide when we finish with it, you're going to get a little bit better at prayer. You're going to up your prayer game. When we pray, miracles happen. 1987, that season, man, I go in on a Monday. They let me know, hey, you're no longer part of this team. Get home that evening, Monday night. You'll never forget when you lose your job. You remember them days. Amen. And Gene and I, we got two little children there, and I get down on my knee there watching, and I get down and pray. I just get down on the side of the couch, and Denver and Miami were playing preseason game. I said, Lord, I sure would like to be playing in Denver. Just a little prayer like that. God didn't wait 24 hours. You've heard me share this before, some of you. Didn't wait 24 hours to answer that prayer. 10 o'clock next morning, Denver Broncos called my house. Boom. What were the chances of that if you did the math on it? 32 teams in the NFL. I pray for that team, and within 24 hours, God answers that prayer. I jump on an airplane, fly out there. Still got the whole season to go through. Hadn't even made the team. Called my family, told Gene, hey, come on out. Guy's sitting there, they said, man, you ain't made the 53-man roster yet. What you having your family come out here? I said, I got some inside information. Amen. Do you walk with God in that manner? Yes, he's creator of billions and billions and trillions of galaxies, but he's a personal God that lives and abides in you. I can remember I was packing my stuff, Pastor Steve, getting ready to leave the complex there in Tampa, and I'm packing up my stuff, and the guy, man, they just think it's bad. What are you going to do? How are you going to do? What are you going to make? Man, I'm not Do you know who you're talking to? I'm a son of the Most High. That's not arrogancy. That's knowing the word. Amen. Knowing how to put the word on your circumstances. So, man, God got on all the jobs, guys. Chill out. Cool out. It's all right. Amen. What are we going to do? Who made the days? You didn't. I didn't. Who makes the sun come up? How do we live day after day after day experiencing, as we've been saying, the goodness of the Lord, and when a circumstance comes, boy, if you are familiar with Rick Riley, he wrote the article, he wrote this story. He's a great, great writer. And so we go through the season, man, make the playoffs. Anyway, starts this article off. He says, a Castile, a bundle of aspirations, was praying for an opportunity to make a difference. Now, if you don't, let me give you this. I wasn't a starter when we played in the Super AFC. I was on the bench. I came in nickel situations. Does that stop you from praying? So I prayed, Lord, let me get in that game and make something happen. Well, let me get in that game and make something happen. Well, let me get in that game and make something happen. Would you have prayed that? Well, I believe he's that good. How about you? I believe he's that good. When we pray, miracles happen. So we're getting the AFC Championship game, and read a little bit of this to you real quick. As he was writing, he says, and so we had a tie, 31-31. Kozar was putting points up there faster than we could look at them, said Elway. There was 5 minutes and 14 seconds left. But just when the Browns thought it was safe to play nickel, came Son of the Drive. Enter Amigo number two, Nateel, who grabbed two passes for 52 yards on the drive. I just wanted to show them that they didn't waste their first round pick, said Nateel, a rookie from Florida, nor had they wasted their fifth pick in the 1982 tailback Sammy Winder, who took an Elway screen and went 20 yards for a touchdown. 75 yards, painlessly, 38-31 Denver. Only one problem. Kozar had 3 minutes and 53 seconds left. We're not quitters, said Kozar. We're not going to quit, not ever. Seven plays later, Cleveland was at the eight. Bernie Kozar handing the ball off to Biner. All around Mile High Stadium, folks searched for unchewed fingernails. Overtime was coming. Even Reeves, Coach Reeves, the head coach, believes it. I was thinking about the coin flip for overtime, Coach Reeves admitted. Maybe the only man in the Mile High time zone who wasn't thinking overtime was Castillo. Two plays before, Byron had gained 6 yards, but Castillo come back to the huddle telling the guys, his teammates, man, I almost got the ball out. Now, Biner, who was headed towards the end zone, an arm's length from Castile, who had reached out his left arm, trying to strip Biner of the ball, I just felt like he was in such a position that it wouldn't have done me any good to make the tackle. He was going to score. I had to try and strip him of the ball. That's all I had left. Biner landed in the end zone. Unfortunately, the ball didn't make the trip with him. Castile, who had dislodged it, fell on it on the 3-yard line after a large pileup emerged with his prize. So they're on about the 3-yard line. I meet Ernest Biner, strip the ball, and usually that ball would shoot through the end. God just put the ball right there. Pop. I just rolled over on it with about 2 tons of Cleveland Browns on top of me. Said Kozar, 24, and aging fast in his third year as a pro, words can't really describe how bad our team feels right now. We could have and should have won that game. We could have and should have won that game, but Ernest Biner didn't lose it for us. No. Jeremiah Castile did, said Biner. Said Kozar. So Ernest didn't lose it for him. Me making the play. Was that a miracle? What's the chances of that happening? I want to remind you, saints, you leave it. When you pray, miracles happen. And you need to get a bigger picture of who God is. He's way outside of the box you have him in. He's bigger than the box you have him in. So if you have your Bible with you, you could turn to me. I want to look at four. We're just going to look at and real quickly. I have really 4 points to make as we look at when we pray. There's 4 things you need to be considering. His position, our posture, his presence, and his power. Start with, and if there was, I was teaching, I'd say those first two are major. His position. You know why people are not in seeing powerful results in their prayer life? Because they don't have God in the position he belongs. So turn with me to the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at what the book of Daniel. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse 46. Turn down to, I want to look at that. In this story, Daniel is interpreting the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is going to give a testimony of who God is. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to give a testimony of the position that God has. Saints, when we start talking about God's position, I highly recommend you tune in right now. Because God is giving us his printed and living word for you to come to understand who he is. And he's not going to dismiss your ignorance. I'm going to say it again. He's not going to dismiss your ignorance. Not when you have access to his word. And you need to listen real closely to what God's word is getting ready, what he's getting ready to say to us. His position. What is his position? Well, you know what? They didn't have the Hubble telescope back during King Nebuchadnezzar's time. They couldn't look out for billions of light. They didn't have that information. You and I do today. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that information today? Amen? Amen. Now listen to what, but you know what, King Nebuchadnezzar, God's going to show you right here what God is saying about his position with what King Nebuchadnezzar knew 2,500 years ago plus. Listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, listen, verse 47, truly your God is the God of gods. Who is he? He's the God of gods. He's the Elohim over all the other Elohim. He created all of them. He's the creator of all the Elohim. And part of our problem in modern day is there's been such an onslaught of atheism that there is no God until it's affected the body of Christ. And what the enemy wants to do is diminish your thought process on how big he is. Because the bigger, the more authority. I'll say it again. The bigger, the more authority. Amen. I think our federal government has more authority than the local government. Amen. Y'all get my point, huh? The federal government has more authority than the city of Birmingham or Shelby County. Get my point. And what you need to do today is just do some evaluation of, Lord, where have I placed? How big are you in my life? What authority you have in my life? Amen. And when you do, he opens your eyes. He opened your eyes. And you know what you get? You get a healthy fear of the Lord. So what did Nebuchadnezzar say? Hey, guess what? Your God is the God of all gods. Did King Nebuchadnezzar have a God? Yes, he did. He had a Babylonian God. He was king. He ruled over all of the, he had dominion over all of the territory. Amen. He said, but guess what? My God can't do what your God just did. I had a dream. I didn't even tell anybody the dream. And I demanded that the dream be told of me and interpreted and kill all of the magicians that can't tell me the dream. Amen. Get this, saints. He's asking for something to be done that had never been done. And Daniel said, hey, guess what? My God's the God of all gods. So what do we say? First of all, his position is he's the Most High, El Elyon, Most High of all. What that means? Over your job, over your boss, over the United States, he's over everything. We act like sometimes God is subject to politics. He ain't. Woo! So he's the Most High God. Amen? Mm. You know what? He is so powerful. The reason I did this message, I wanted to go along with Pastor Wayne's message. Praise and prayer, or prayer and praise. They're commands. I'll say it again. They are commands. God commands you to praise him. God commands you to pray. Pray. What do you think 1 Thessalonians 5 says? Pray without ceasing. What is it saying right there, 1 Thessalonians 5? 5:17, if you can turn. Pray without ceasing. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and what? Pray. So God's giving us this a suggestion or a command? It's a command. And when we take it and we obey it, then it becomes a discipline that we can use for victory in our lives. And then we'll open our mouth and give a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. All of you that have been successful in business, tell me how successful you would be, business, athletics, education, whatever you want to name, without discipline. Your workers don't come to time or work on time in the mornings. You don't get up and go to work on time. Show me where success comes without discipline. But yet when it comes to the discipline of prayer, well, then we can just be lethargic, lazy about it. Don't even have conviction of our hearts that, hey, I don't even pray. And as he said, Brother Ross said, it's a tool. You build your life with it. Amen. You build your family with it. You build your career with it. You build your family with it. Woo! When you get committed to it, I pray today that you leave here and you decide you're gonna get a little bit better at praying. And that's an ongoing thing. I believe you'll leave here. You won't accomplish it on this side. You know what I'm enjoying about, and God giving me revelation as I grow gracefully older? The discipline of prayer. It says you get older, you may not be able to move and do this, but you can pray. Saints, for all those that are growing up, we can pray. Amen. Whew. I went to Sister Finley's parents' house here couple of years back, and man, I went over. I said, "Sister," I told her, "Mom," I said, "put your hand on me. Get." I know I need. Boy, she started praying over me. Woo! And see, for me, Jeremiah Castile, my first recollection I have of prayer, I was about 5 years old. My mother was on the side of the bed, and I could tell you from that, I realized there was a God. I didn't know him personally, but I knew there was a God. He's bigger than any problem you got. I'm here to tell you, saints, what you need to do in upping your attitude is you need to realize God is a commander, and when he gives a command, he is expecting a response. Amen. That's why you see me sitting over there. I say hallelujah because he expects a response. I say amen. How come? Because he expects a response. How do we know? Look, Pastor Wayne was preaching on praise. Let everything that has what? Breath praise the Lord. Is that a suggestion or a command? And we're wondering, why is this life so frustrating that I'm trying to live? You're not lining up with the commands. You're not walking in obedience to the commands so that the discipline it takes to be victorious. So what's his position? He's the Most High God. Woo, amen. Amen. Not only is he the Most High God, he's a God that delivers. Turn to Daniel chapter 3 real quick. Go to verse 28. Let's look at what it says there. Nebuchadnezzar spoke. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and the big Negro. See, had to be a black man in there somewhere, Jim. Some protesting going on. I ain't buying now. Y'all was supposed to laugh at that. His name is Abednego. Amen. Who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language, or speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap. Because, listen to what it says. There is no other God who can deliver like this. He's Most High and he's a deliverer. He wants to deliver and rescue you from whatever the circumstance, whatever the problem, whatever the situation. Do you believe? Most High Deliverer. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 as we get ready to wind this down. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Not only is he the Most High God, he's a deliverer and rescues. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Listen to what it says. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Who is Jesus? He's a ruler. Our God is a ruler over all of the governments on the earth. All of the kings on the... When is the last time you had that, you thought that in that manner when you entered into prayer, when you went into the court of heaven? When you went into your closet, that God reigns and rules over everything on the earth, everything in heaven. Whew. He's a ruler. As I get ready to close, I shared with you the Super Bowl story. I'm going to share another one with you as we close. God answers prayer. Do you believe? What you're praying for? Get tenacious about it. Get like a pit bull on it. Woo! Don't give up. I was preaching in Phenix City, Alabama about 6 weeks ago. And I was doing a mayor's prayer breakfast. My roommate there, Eddie Lowe, is the mayor of a little town, Phenix City. And so I got there early that morning there in the building where we was holding the event. And this gentleman walks up to me and he says, you remember me? And I'm like, well, brother, I ain't lived here in about 30 years. So I don't think I remember you. He was a Caucasian gentleman, big heavyset guy. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you a story, and I think it'll bring back your memory. He says, I was the deputy sheriff that was in the park that day, and you was down there praying in the park. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you now. Because he came and tapped on my window and asked me was all right, because there had been a suicide the week before in that park. I was sitting there. That was my spot. That was my closet, my inner place. Do you have one? Where's your spot with the Lord? Do you have that secret place? Do you have a closet? If it ain't a physical, where do you go and it's just you and God? No interruptions. Turn the phone off. You and him. And I guarantee you, he will show you his power. His position dictates it. He don't know how to be anything but great. Woo! Amen. He don't know. Hey, get your secret place. So I'm there, I'm praying that day, and then get a tap on. And I look up and it's the policeman. I'm like, I rolled the window down. He said, everything all right, sir? Yes, sir. I'm fine. I'm just sitting here praying. And he said, after I found out you weren't a threat to yourself, so you asked me, hey, can I pray for you? I was already in the flow, amen. Man, you're a civil servant, man. I need to pray for you. I started praying for him, and I prayed for his protection. He said, you prayed for my protection. He said, 2 weeks later, I was in a shootout. Over 18 rounds was fired. God protected me. What's the chance of you not getting shot if 18 rounds are exchanged? 30 years later, God lets me hear this testimony. 30 years gone by. I pray today, as we close, that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction on you like he has me about how lethargic and how lazy I can be. I'm talking to me. How lazy I can be at times when it's time to pray. When the Spirit prompts me, stop, pray. You know what I do when I go to the practice at the University of Alabama? I don't want nobody around me, because that's my time to pray. When I'm at prayer, that's what I do. When I'm at a game, if they shoot, that's what I do. Because I understand the power of it. If you don't think God's care about ball games, hey, I don't believe that. You ain't gonna tell me something different. I wouldn't have had the career I had. I don't think God and I. Well, you can just don't run up on me with that. You can tell it to somebody else. You know, I come because it's given me an opportunity to open my mouth. It's put me in place. I say, let me share you about the goodness of the Lord. Last story I'll share with you. You heard me share this one. So I've shared with you two. Outcomes, great. How about when the circumstances don't look so great? Will you pray then? So I had a brother murdered. My mother was on. It was New Year's 1996. We walk in the house. She's on the phone. Could tell something's not right. And she gives me the news. And she had such a powerful response in that situation. It prompted me to pray that night. Brother Jeff, there beside of the bed, Gene and I spent. And I got on my knee. The Spirit led me. See, when you truly are, you know who leads you when you're truly disciplined? The Holy Spirit. You know who prompts you? God, the Holy Spirit. You know who empowers you? God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we pray, miracles happen. So I got on my knees that night, side of the bed. I said, Lord, let me share the gospel with this man that murdered my brother. And I can tell you all of those was Holy Ghost words. Amen. That wasn't of my flesh, not where I was at mentally. But I thank God that he's had access to me. He owns me. And maybe today you can realize he owns you too. He owns us. I'm not my own. You're not your own. How much you may think that, how much men may think that, you're not. He owns, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything, all your money, all your cars, all your, name it. So I prayed that night, Lord, let me share the gospel with this man. I didn't realize 2.5 years later, God would answer that prayer. When conflict happens, when tragedy comes, pray. Pray. Call out to him. Make it a discipline. When everything's going great, guess what? Pray. Two and a half years go by. I'm at practice in the summer. Bob Shaw walks, hey, I got this prison ministry. I'm going to go over this prison. I want you to go share your testimony. I go up. I share the testimony. Prisoner come up after. He says, man, you had a brother named Joseph? I said, yeah. He said, man, they kill your brothers in this prison. He said, we do this every month. Will you come back if I promise to bring him? And I said, yes, sir. I'll come back next month. 30 days go by, I went back, and that gentleman was sitting on the front row when I got there. And the Holy Spirit said, go to him. And I love to tell this part of, you know what, see, true prayer is, you know what you learn to do? You're communing with God. Can you think of anybody greater than God? Can you think of anybody more lovely than Jesus? Can you think of anybody more caring? I walk up to the man, and God just, he said, I want you to show him some love. So embrace him. That's my enemy. No, embrace him. And I embraced that man, Miss Georgia, right where he was at. We just hugged up. God will, he may not initiate tragedy. He may not initiate conflict. But I'll be doggone, he won't show his goodness and faithfulness through it. Yeah. That's what you need to be fired up and excited about. In the end, all things will work together for the good. In the end. Amen? Amen. In the end. So I embraced him, and I'm all uncomfortable. Miss Louise, as I'm standing, I'm just on, and Lawson, no, don't pull back. I want you to smell his breath. I like to hear that part of it. Yeah, we standing right here, smell his breath. And see, you tell him Jesus loves him. When the last time you told somebody Jesus loves him? Tell him you've forgiven him. Two years went by after that encounter, and he wrote my mother a letter. And he shared in that letter with my mother. Mrs. Castile, I asked God to forgive me. And my mother, who was just living off a little widow's pension, took his return address, wrote it down, and started sending him part of her widow's pension. Every month. Wow. So if you met Mary Castile, you met a champion. Never was on television. Saints, listen to me. The greatness is in serving. God, you don't be looking around at all the TV personalities. God is creating. Get excited about your own individual life and what he's doing in your life through prayer. In every circumstance that come up, you decide, man, this is an opportunity for a miracle to happen. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. I thank you for Covenant Heirs Church. I thank you for your word today. May we take your word. Give us ears to have heard your word and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Steve.
Everybody stand, please. Was that a good word or what? Next Sunday, you know what? You didn't only have a Jordan River. You got a Jericho, a walled city, a bunch of circumstances that looks like there's no way for you to ever win. Next week, we're going to see what God says is the way to see Jericho's walls fall flat. It's not the way you think. Look forward to seeing you then. Go with God. He's going with you. We'll see you next week.